Yeah, we'll get them on the screen. Okay, so the topic I want to speak about is the topic of Shoshvinos. Okay, now Shoshvinos.
Is that Sunday's topic?
What?
Is that Sunday's topic?
So Sunday's topic is Shoshvinim, no?
Oh, sorry.
Well, see, there's a difference between.
You have a shir.
Yeah, Sunday morning. Sunday morning.
Wait, are you sponsored?
Yeah. I should be like.
9:30. I think you missed. I think you're away. I think you're away for the last one.
You have to run the topic.
You want the
Marvel
Comos to give you the smart kid in the class.
No, you're supposed to run the topic.
Topics by you, yeah.
He's
only so, okay,
like
so.
Strauss Center at 1 year.
The Foyer Center at Inglewood.
I'm sorry, so this is just being this.
Yeah, so we'll see. This is actually very, very much later, but this will be like a nice hakdama, actually, to what we discussed Sunday. So the Rambam in Hilchos Zechiyah Matana, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, so I was working off of Gemara Bava Basra, and the Rambam tells us the following. Minog Pashit Barov HaMedinos, so the custom is spread amongst all the nations, or all the countries, Shebizman Sheisa Adam Isha, Meshalchen Orev HaMiyudav Maos, Kedei Sheis Chazek Ala Hotzah, right, when somebody gets married, so his friends and his acquaintances, so they sent him money, Kedei Sheis Chazek Ben Ala Hotzah, Shemotzi B'Ishta, right, notice that he could support his new marriage, okay. And those friends who sent him the gifts, right, so these are the people who come to celebrate the Shivas Me'a Mishta with him. Hakol kemenega medina, everything follows the custom of the city. These gifts are called Shoshvinos. Okay, and the people who send those gifts, they're called Shoshvinim. Okay, but obviously these two concepts are related, right? Also, the very fact that we call the term Shoshvinim, the people like the, you know, the best men or the bridegrooms, right, the people at the wedding, that their name is derivative. Well, actually, yeah, we'll see. That's what this is, as we'll see Sunday. That's a derivative off this notion of Shoshvinos, right? The gifts that they're supposed to contribute to the wedding. The Rambam in Hilchos Zechiyah Matana a little later on. So you see in Perek Zayin Halacha Tes, for example. The question is that we have to discuss is how does the Shoshvinos work? Okay, what kind of chiyuv are we discussing? So I might give the wrong halachos here, bit of a problem. But you could look here for a second, skip to page 2, where the Rambam has Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, which is the next halacha in this perek. So three sources from the bottom.
You're yellow on this, or is my eyes?
Well, there's yellow. That's the printer in YU. Hashoshvinos ena matana gemura. So these gifts are not a full present, obviously. V'advar miduim shelo shalach ze asar dinar b'shvil sheyochal v'yishte b'zeh v'lo shalach alpnei shebedaito haya shem yise hu isha yachzer v'yishlach mo kemo sheshalach lo. And that was like, everybody knows that when somebody gives you a gift at a wedding, they're not giving you the gift because they're paying for the meal that they got. They're giving you this nice gift because they have in mind that you reciprocate for them when they get married.
Quid pro quo.
Okay? Quid pro quo, as the Rambam says. And you think everybody knows this. Lefichach. Im nasa ze isha velo hichzer lo ha-shoshvinas, harisa tovo bedin umotzi mimenu. So somebody shows up to your wedding and doesn't return the gift that you gave them, you can tovea them in bezdin. You can sue them. Okay? It's very, very surprising halacha. Right? It's not just a gift, right? It seems like, that's what I'm saying. It's not just a matana gemura. It's a legal obligation which could be subjected to tvias bezdin. So it sounds like it's a loan. Okay. The problem is, either it's a loan, and I'll have to ask whether it follows. Exactly. If it's a loan, it's a very different kind of a loan. We'll see why. Or maybe if I say it's a loan, there are still certain conditions that have to obtain in order for the loan to be an obligation. Either that, or we'll step out and we'll say it's not a loan altogether, some sort of other chiyuv.
Did you say it has to be equivalent in terms of amount?
We didn't say that yet, but the Rambam says that you have to reciprocate. It doesn't say it has to be equivalent. The Rambam in the later halacha says that it at least has to be in a similar category. So he says if somebody has a private wedding and his friend has a public wedding, obviously they're not obligated to reciprocate in the same way. Okay, so there are some conditions, but at least the general rule is that you have to reciprocate. The Rambam here in Perek Zayin, Halacha Tes, so going back to page 1, the Rambam gives us the following case. Meis Shimon Kodem Sheyisa Isha, Oshin nasa v'meis toch yimei ha-mishte. Ein ru'uven chayiv l'hachzir lo l'yarshe shimon klum. Sharei omer lehem tenu li shoshvinai v'esamach ima. Okay, so let's say this is a case where somebody shows up to my wedding. They give me shoshvinos. Okay, so now I'm indebted to them. Now that person passes away before he has a chance to get married. Okay, so his yarshim, so that's his brother. So his brother comes to me and says, look. So he says, reciprocate. Right? He's like, my brother gave you shoshvinos for your wedding. So my brother died, but now you have to return the gift.
Wait, is this guy getting married?
Just wants the money back.
Why would you even think they'll have me to say that? Because the obligation is to return to the guy when he gets married as an equivalent thing. This isn't no marriage involved.
So that's what Dom says. Right? Dom says that I could always respond, Tnuli Shoshvina Vesamachimo, right? You make a chasana for the dead brother and I'll dance at it. Right? Give me my shoshvin and I'll be Mesameachim. But exactly as you're pointing out, right, this it's not just a loan where he gave me something I have a chiv to reciprocate. It's a loan on condition that he actually has a wedding and I show up at it, or I contribute to it. Okay? Halacha yud, lefichach, im samach imo v'achar kach me Shimon. Now, let's say Shimon actually got married, right, and I went and I celebrated with him, and then he dies, o kara lo v'lo bo, shelo haye b'medina, o shelo hodio, ho v'shilmu yimei ha-mishte v'achar kach me Shimon, chai v'ruben l'hachzer ha-shashvinas l'yarshav, o kula o b'nichwe. Okay, so here the Ram says that if Shimon got married, and we'll see, you don't actually have to show up to the wedding. Even if you don't show up to the wedding and he invited you, you have a chiv to give shoshvinus back to him. Okay, if I didn't give the shoshvinus yet and he died, then I have a chiv to give it to his yarshim. Okay, so if his wedding took place, so I'm now obligated to his inheritors.
What's the time statute of limitations in returning shoshvinus?
So right now it seems like you could be tevea somebody bedin, right? You got married, let's say, 50 years ago, or you know, even 75 years ago, so you could still be tevea somebody bedin.
What if you get a scholarship and she marries a second time?
So the second time, actually, the Rambam says somebody could say, you know, you gave me shoshvinus for my first marriage. I'm only giving you shoshvinus for your first marriage. You're not obligated.
Can we establish who's in this category of shoshvinin? Is it
Rambam just said?
Any
so Rambam just said that it's reyav umiyudav. Right, his friends and acquaintances that we saw in Halacha.
Does that mean any? So it means any stam guest, or that means every guest considered?
Okay, so we'll see on Sunday that it definitely seems that there are two categories: there are shoshvinim and there are kol b'nei hachasana. We'll see in some places they had the minog at the. Yeah, you better show up. But some shoshvinim used to sign on the k'stuva, in addition to the edim, and some shoshvinim in some place they had the shoshvina under the chuppah with them. That's what I'm saying. It's really like the bridegroom right there, or the best man that stand up there.
The source.
So source of the Gemara in Bava Basra. It's a Gemara on Kuf Mem Hei. They don't quote any pasuk, and the Ram said it's a kol tali b'minag ha-medina.
Right.
Right. Everything depends on the custom. It's not clear how much depends on minag ha-medina. Right. Everything, this whole category, or the amount, right, and the way in which you do it.
And is this different than the wedding gift?
No, this seems to be their sense of a wedding gift, is that you contribute something to helping him support his marriage. This is the wedding gift. Okay. Now, Halacha Yud Aleph. Okay. Halacha Yud Aleph. Meis Reuven v'achar kach nasa Shimon Isha v'shilmu yimei ha-mishta. So this is a case where, let's say, so someone came to my wedding and gave me shoshvinos. Now I am nifter, okay, and Shimon gets married after I'm nifter. V'shilmi me'amishtem makom shenagu ligwas ha-shoshvinim miyarshin kofin yarshe ruvein l'chachzir benichoy. So now, the Rambam says in some places you could force my heirs to contribute shoshvinos to Shimon. Very interesting, right? I'm not going to the wedding, but my heirs are obligated to return the shoshvinos.
Is there no document here? So is this with Shavua? They have to swear that they...
Maybe just Eidos. I guess Eidos that you showed up to the wedding and didn't reciprocate yet. But Malkam Shalono Agu, says the Rambam, Ein HaYarshin Mishalmim Klum. In a case where they don't have this minog, so my heirs are totally exempt. Okay, that's important. That's a chiddush of the Rambam, that my heirs can be exempt. If you look, for example, at the Ritva on page 2, he takes issue with this. And he says, that of course the heirs are always obligated to reciprocate. Okay, look for example at the Ritvan Balbasar Kufmem Dalman base on page 2. The middle source on page 2. Ima Shoshvin Harishon Kayum. Okay, so if the person who gave the Shoshvinus is still alive, that's the person who contributed to my wedding. The Ose Mishta Shelo, Bachasan Harishon Mace, and that was Nifter. Harize Gova Mimena Shoshvinuso, of course he could collect from the heirs. The Havali Dimu de Mesa, don't worry about that analogy. The Yochel Hai Lomar Ano Hakaimna. He said, I'm still alive, contribute. True that, you know, Itamar Rosenzweig can't himself come and dance at my wedding. You see from the ritual, there are really two aspects here. Right? There's the personal aspect where you're obligated to go and show up at the wedding. And alongside that, there's the financial obligation. In a case where I am nifter, so I can't fulfill the personal debt of being mesameachim, but obviously the financial obligation is still in place. The Rambam, who disagreed here, might remember, the Rambam said that in a place where the minug is not to return the shoshvinus when, in this case, I die, right. Rambam would say that's because the financial obligation is a complete derivative from the personal obligation, right? And if you personally can't show up to the wedding, you can't coherently talk about a financial obligation.
We still haven't categorized this as whether this is a loan or the concomitant.
Correct. We're going to get to that in a second.
Anything like that.
Right. Right now, I'm just interested in showing you how this plays out. It seems somewhat like a loan, right? It's not a matana gemura, it's somewhat like a loan. The chiyuv only goes into effect if he actually has a wedding. There's a debate whether he could be tovea from my yarshim. That debate between the Rambam and the Ritva here seems to turn on the question whether the financial obligation could exist independent of the personal obligation to misamechim. Okay? That's where we're at right now. Now, turn back to page 1. Here you have the Rambam. Oh, sorry. Second. Okay, you can look at the Gemara in the second source on page 1. We'll look at the Gemara instead of the Rambam. So basically the second source on page 1 is Gemara in Bava Basra Kuf Mem Hei Med Aleph. So Gemara says Shashashvinus Nigas Bezin Tan Rabbanon Chamisha Dvarim Nemar B'Shashvinus. Okay, there are 5 halachos that were said about Shashvinus. Nigves Bezdin, you could force collection in Bezdin, this we saw, right? You could sue somebody over it. That implies that it's a real financial obligation. The Choseres Be'onasa. What does that mean? Choseres Be'onasa. How do you take that to mean Choseres Be'onasa? No interest yet. We'll see the interest case. But Choseres Be'onasa simply means, the simple pshat, is that you can't force him to pay until you actually have a wedding. Right? I mean, you could only force him to repay the debt at its proper time. But the proper time is when the second party has his own celebration. That's too trivial. Right? Because it's too trivial, because obviously you can't force him to pay up before you get married. It's all about returning the favor that he did to you. So look at the Ramban on top of page 3 in Bava Basra. Top of page 3, the Ramban's commentary. V'choseres be'onasa, pir sh'rav Reb Shmuel, she'im avar onasa, dehainu shiva simei chupa v'lo tava, shuv lo yifra. Okay, so this is the statute of limitations here, right? According to Reb Shmuel, you only have 7 days to be toveya the shoshvinos, meaning you can only be toveya the shoshvinos during the Shava Brachos. This is Dr. Foy, this is your question. The Ramban doesn't like it. Ve'ena mechuvar, elad ligas be'onasa v'lo kodem lachen. That's ridiculous, right? Of course there's no statute of limitations for how long. It's like a loan. The only chiddush here is that you can't collect it before you get married. Okay? What's Rabbeinu Shmuel's position? Why does he have the statute of limitations that is limited to only Shiva Simei HaMishta? Why do you think? If you don't, no, but why? He's suing you now, right? He's coming a month later and he's saying, I gave a present at your wedding, now reciprocate. Why limit it to Shiva Simei HaMishta?
Well,
Why is it limited to what?
Shiva simei mishta, to shav brachos. Right? You could only be, you could only assume within 7 days of your wedding. Dr. Cook, what do you think?
Because honestly, that's the time frame in which these things are exchanged. If it's going to be bride, groom at the wedding, then that's the vernacular in which you have to.
Precisely, right? This is almost like a similar concept we saw in the Ritva, where you're not dealing here with an independent financial obligation to simply repay what he gave you at your wedding. Your obligation is to participate in his wedding in the same way which he participated in yours.
Well,
so the whole discussion of Shoshvinus is limited Shoshvinus, to the actual celebration.
Isn't that the first passage you read to us, the first Rambam, who says that Nemachah b'shiva shimei mishta. So does everything boil down to that 7 days, according to Rambam?
Well, it's not clear. The Rambam would say that the obligation is to participate in those 7 days, but you could sue him for not fulfilling his obligation afterwards. Rav Shmuel is saying that you can only assume within that window, right?
We need help.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, this assume
is. Snooze or lose,
right?
You
assume anything.
Any day that ends in
one. So that's one position here, okay? So the Rashbam thinks it's all limited to these 7 days. The Rashba in Bava Basra, the next source on page 3.
You know what he does?
Yeah, fraud. So this fraud thing with Jonah?
I heard on it was driving back.
He has infomercial for me.
Yeah, so the guy, they're claiming that these whitening strips can whiten porcelain. I said, that's impossible. So Linda says, call a panel and then you can get a percentage.
All right. Well, we can consult him in Florida, maybe.
Call him.
So the Rashba here in Bava Basra actually says there's another chiddush embedded in Choseres Bo Nasa, and that is the second source on page 3. This is the case, let's say. Someone comes to my wedding, right, and gives me shoshvinas. Now I say, look, you're not married yet, but you know the markets are doing well this year, so I'll reciprocate, I'll give you a check right now for when you get married. So the question here is, can Shimon, this fellow, can he refuse payment? Could he say, no, I'm not accepting. I want you to give me the check when I get married. Does he have the right to do that?
It's your question whether he can even accept payment also.
Right, so you might say, well, I guess if he accepted, you could always construe it as a mechila. Right, you know.
But
could he deny payment and say, I want you to only pay up when I get married?
Why could you pay up to begin with? If the payment is dependent on the
That's what Dr. Hirsch is saying, right? Maybe it's not effective.
We believe he can't do that.
Right, I'm saying maybe it would be construed as a mechila in that case, where he's like, you know, canceling your obligation to him. But why would he have the right to say, why does he have the right to say, I'm not accepting your payment early? Let me ask you a question.
He'd be stuck eating the bad food that he can have served his wife.
As well. And he wants to have a nice.
You gotta be there. Don't pay me. Just show up for the wedding. Baby, I want you for the wedding.
Ah.
Otherwise, you'll pay the money and have a wedding.
No, but he might not be getting married anytime soon. And he doesn't want to take something that's somehow integral to that, you know, the marriage.
So what I'm saying, he's tearing down the money now because he may not get it.
No, I mean,
well, he wants to make sure that it's going to be used at the wedding.
Isn't it connected at the hip to a wedding?
Okay,
ceremony?
Good. So this is what you're all expressing. We have a concept by a halva for a loan. Let's say I have a mortgage, right? So could Citibank, and the mortgage I'll say is due in 20 years, right? I'm only supposed to pay up in 20 years. Could Chase tell me that they're not accepting early payment? Legally, could they say that?
There's a penalty for
paying up early.
There are some mortgages, typically not.
Okay, but some loans you have.
Interesting.
Okay, so in halacha here we say that it depends. If you're malves somebody biyishuv, right? If you lend the money in a city in a populated area, so you could refuse early payment b'midbar. Right? If the guy tries to repay you in a place where you can't turn over the capital, so you could refuse payment in that situation. But if it's both, you know, Hilveu b'yishuv u'paro b'yishuv, right, if, you know, you lent him in New York City and he's paying you back in New York City, so he could pay you back early. But if he's trying to pay you back somewhere else where it's not as useful for you, then you could deny payment. So the Rashba says this is a case of Hilveyu B'Yishuv Uporeya B'Midbar. It's like the guy's trying to pay you back in a desert. Why? So look here. In the second line in the Rashba. V'dome l'milve hi gam b'zeh. It's like a loan. Ki pa'amim she'ein halove rashay l'froa shalom midas ha'mavet. There are times when the borrower can't pay up early. Ki go'en she'hilveyu b'yishuv u'bigesh l'achzir b'midbar. Like a time when he's trying to return the money in the desert. V'zeh k'midbar hulo. This case of the wedding is like a midbar where he's paying up early. She'hu megareya b'chvodo. V'harei lo higia u'naso shel shoshvin nadayin. He says, you're undermining, he's cutting away at your kavod. Right? The whatever the check is worth more to you when you can invest it directly in a fancy wedding celebration. Whereas if he's just going to pay back early and it's not going to contribute towards the simcha, you're actually getting less. Put differently, what I think he's saying is that you didn't just lend him a certain sum of money, right? You gave him a sum of money and you contributed to his wedding celebration. When he pays you back early, all he's giving you is the sum of money. Right, you're missing the contribution to the Simchas Achasana. It doesn't resonate.
No, I didn't say what you're saying.
He's saying you're getting less than you gave. Put differently, let's say you write a check. Let's say you write a check for your friend's son gets married. Right, so you write a check to them for the Chasana. Then a week after the Chasana, they say, Dr. Foer, when your kid gets married, here's a check for when your kid gets married. And you look at him and you say, it's ridiculous. Right? But you don't say, oh, that's so nice. Look what they gave for your wedding, right? You don't say to your son. He's like, he's giving me a check for something. If he gave it to you when your son got married, then you'd say, oh, that's very nice. He's celebrating in our simcha. Has different associations.
If you hold that you could accept payment, presumably the Rashba is not everyone holds that the Rashba, presumably you could take payment from somebody, or is that not correct?
Well, it seems like Gemara that if you're getting less than a midbar, you could refuse payment.
Because I'm saying, if you took the money, could you then not invite it to the wedding, subsequent wedding, or not?
It's not clear. It doesn't seem right. It's not clear that this does away. The Rashba seems to assume that if he pays up the debt now,
right,
he's not obligated to come to the wedding. Right? It seems like
he's not obligated to come. The question is he obligated to invite him?
Well, I'm not sure if you're ever obligated to invite him in either way.
Okay.
I mean, you may not have a chiyuv to reciprocate the invitation.
And he still would have a chiyuv of shushvinus?
No, so then right. So he only has a chiyuv to return the shushvinus if he's invited to the wedding, even if he doesn't come. It's totally on the invitation. Good. Okay, so this is an interesting idea where we're saying that he can't pay up early because the shushvinus is inherently tied at the hip to the chasana itself. Okay, so the Rabbeinu Shmuel had in a strong sense where you only have 7 days to be Toveya. The Rashba has it in a weak sense, where if he pays up early, it's considered he's paying back less than what he received. Good? Okay. The second issue here in the Gemara, back on page 1, the Gemara says that ve'ein ba mishum ribis. Okay, there's no issue of ribis. So let's say somebody came to my chasana and he gave me a check for X amount of, for X dollars. Right? So if I come back to his chasana and I give him X plus N, so normally that'll be ribis. And I'm paying back more than I received. So why does the Gemara say there's no problem of ribis for shoshvinas? Right, if it's construed as a loan. Somebody gives me $500 for my wedding. I give him back $550 for his wedding.
Oh, okay, you take it.
So why is it not ribbis?
Isn't that ribbis?
That's my tongue. Is your sense of money?
But we say that even if you don't, even if it's not ketsutza mishas avara, even if it's not stipulated in the initial loan, there's still ribbis if you voluntarily pay back a little more.
Maybe it's just the minimum floor to the gift is you can't give less.
But still, if it functions as a halva, you should never be able to pay more than what you receive.
That money now is worth more than money later.
But I don't know if they. I don't think they're thinking in terms of inflation and.
The end of inflation is you have it here versus later.
All right. So you can look here. The Rishonim are all bothered by this halacha, and if you turn to page 3, bottom of page 3.
Did he do this voluntarily, or he was instructed to do it?
Let's say he did it voluntarily. But voluntarily is still Asr Misham Ribis Drabanan. Right? Mitch said he had a case. where he said he gave someone a hava, and the person gave him as like a thank you. He didn't charge him ribbis. As a thank you, the guy gave him like a voucher for a flight to somewhere. So he's like, he thought it was fine, but that's a classic case of ribbis, right? You're not allowed to give, right? The person paid him back the money and gave him the voucher in addition.
Did you wait till after you had his flight to tell him this or not?
What? No, he didn't ask me. He told me
that
he asked. No, he told me that he had. He didn't ask me. He told me that he had asked Rav David already, and Rav David told him that it was classic ribbis rabbanon to do that. Because you can't to receive a matana in addition to the hava is a problem. He said here he thought he was doing this mitzvah, you know, an interest free loan, and then the guy gives him a brochure and he violates his ribbis.
No, the chances of
interesting. So, the Ravid tries to tackle this problem. Bottom of page 3, according to the Shita Kvetzin Bava Basra, is a bit of a cynical solution. Very last source. The lava daiti dahachi yoivle, kolomar zeshem arab b'shoshvinas lechvod atzmo huose, lasos lo shame. As the person who gives you back more than you gave him, the reason why he's giving you more is because it's to increase his own kavod. Right? So everybody will say, like, oh, this guy gave, you know, he gives so much when he can ship his chasanas, he's a chashuv guy. Okay, so the Ravid thing, it's not because he's repaying the loan, it's really to increase his own kavod. It's a bit of a cynical interpretation of why people would give more. Yeah, he's flaunting his own kavod.
And shoshvinas has to be money, it can't be material.
Okay, so we'll see what it could be at the very end. We'll
so, I don't know if this is the case, but is it possible that...
You'd have ribbis even with material things.
If your obligation, if somebody gave you a chair...
So would you have to...
5 years later, do you have to give them dollars worth, or do you have to give them the chair?
Right. Well, that would be like a ribbis shaila more. Like, how do you get out of the ribbis in that case?
Is it possible in these societies where these transactions occur that families were really dependent on this money coming in?
Oh, it seems like they absolutely were in this case.
Just to make us simple.
Yeah, it seems like absolutely, right.
That's why people were taking the court
right.
And all that stuff.
Absolutely. This seems like it wasn't like today, you know, oh, it's like the gifts that we give. It's that,
right.
You know, you're either going to eat the leftover cholent from Shabbos
right.
Or you're going to have a nice Suda. That's really what's going on with Shoshvinos. Right? How else is the small community going to turn up this kind of capital so
right.
Quickly? Absolutely. We've seen the Gemara in Daf Dalet also in Ksivis, which you saw that. There's this question of hefzid, right? The yayin is already made and the bread is cooked,
right.
And we're going to push off the avelos, you know, just because we don't want to lose the preparations
right.
Of the suda.
Right.
So it was a big deal.
The
exactly. I just think an easier solution to this problem, you can see the Ritva tackles it also on the top of page 4. I guess look at the Nemuka Yosef on second source on page 4. The Embo Mishum Ribis. And if he gives back a greater gift, it's not a problem. And what he's actually giving to you in addition is only chesed. So he's not saying like the Ravid that he does it for his own aggrandizement. But he's saying, look, he's just giving it to you as an added bonus, like that kind of charity to help you out. Right, but the point is that it's not construed as repayment for what you gave him. It's he's repaying you, and in addition, he's you know giving you a little tzedakah. Right, so they're trying to get out of this ribbis. I think the easiest way to solve the ribbis problem is to say what the Rashbam says on page 3, on the second to last source on page 3. I think this is what he's trying to say, and this touches on what Dr. Hirsch was saying. That the lava daita de ribbis yayevle she'im rotza poches lo elamitoch simchas reyos here bebedoron. I think what he's trying to say is that shoshvinos is not really construed as a hava. Right? It's not a loan where you're repaying what he gave you. The shoshvinos is really just a contribution to the wedding suda. Right? So he contributed to yours. You're under obligation to contribute to his. Right? But you're not dealing with a financial debt that's being repaid here.
So
it's something that could be subject to tviya and bezdin, but what you're being tviya and bezdin is really his involvement in your simcha. Not a financial loan.
So does Rambam say that if he gave you X, you have to give back X, or not necessarily?
It seems pretty clear that that's what it is.
Yeah,
that you have to, the legal obligation is to give back what he gave you. Okay. Now, the other halacha that comes up. So these are the two cases in the Gemara, right? This is it's Choser is Bo Nasa. It has to be in its time. What's in its time? And the Embo Mishum Ribis. Okay. A third thing that the Gemara says. Is the ein hashviyas misham tasa? Shvius doesn't cancel the loan of Shoshvinus.
So it's not a loan.
Oh, so it seems like it's not a loan. Problem is, if you look at the Rashbam that I put here on page 4, bottom of page 4, the Rashbam, the lo karina be lo yigos, she'eno yochal adochko bebezen b'shvius, she'harei lo higia zmanu ad she'yisa hu isha, v'yachzir lo, az, de'eno nigves el bebezen be'onasa. Kidamrinon b'meseches makos, second to last source on page 4, if I give somebody a loan that he only has to pay me back in 10 years, Shvius doesn't cancel that loan. Okay, because a loan is only comes to fruition in 10 years. So since I can't force payment yet, this Shvius doesn't cancel it. Now that is actually a dispute in the Gemara. There are two deos in the Gemara whether Shvius cancels a loan that's only going to be due in 10 years. Right? The question seems to be, is it that he has an obligation to pay right now, just you can't force collection until after Shvius? Or do you think that there's no obligation to pay until after 10 years? Right, what does it mean when you fix
that?
Why
the act is disposable then? Why don't they just keep loans
in the... In a Hanami, it seems like if the loan was only due in 10 years, so you wouldn't need a Prisbo.
Prisbo lets you collect interest the whole time.
Right, after the loan is due.
Any interest till 10 years.
Right. After the loan is already due. Now, Tosfos on this Gemara says, well, look, we have a debate in the Gemara in Makos whether or not Shvius cancels a loan for 10 years, and then we have an explicit Gemara in Bava Basra which says that Shoshvinus is not canceled by Shvius. So Rabbeinu Tam says, bottom of page 4 in Tosfos, Mikan hoya mevi Rabbeinu Tam raya, dekaimalon delishna kama, delishna basra de perakama de Makos, that Shvius doesn't cancel the loan. What do you think? We have two deos in the Gemara in Makos where Shvius canceled a loan that's due in 10 years.
Right.
And they have an explicit Gemara in Bava Basra that right. says Shoshvinus is not canceled by Shvius.
So the person who holds that canceled, she has a problem from the Shoshvinus as the
source. So Rabbeinu Tam says, I'm proving to you how we hold in general from the case of Shoshvinus.
Yes,
why not?
Because there's a lot of things that's not like a loan.
Oh. Now, Rabbeinu Tam thought it was, right? So this shows you the tension. But look at the Re's objection on page 5. Four lines from the bottom. Shvius cancels any loan that's due, for sure. The question is, a loan that's not yet due, is that canceled? So Rabbeinu Tam wants to bring a proof from our Gemara that Shvius does not cancel loans that are not due. Because Shoshvinus is not canceled by Shvius. Okay? Can't get Shoshvinus and Shvius. I know they're phonetically alike. So four lines from the bottom of Tosfos, top of page 5. V'ein nira l'ri, raya mikan. The Ri says no good proof at all from our Gemara. D'lo shaycha klal Shoshvinus l'milve. Shoshvinus is not at all like a loan. Shari mikam advarim him chalukim zemize. Because you find a lot of distinctions between them, such as k'dimash mahacha v'hacha alki perusho ein Shvius mishantas lokim lo yigos. V'shema la'olam lo yavali de lo yigos. Sh'yocha lomalar b'fsula ani yose imcha. V'shema lo yuse isha klal. Aval milva shalavasof bali de lo yigos Shvius misham tasa. He says, look, a loan always has to be repaid. But in this case of Shoshvinus, maybe the guy is going to have a different kind of a wedding. For example, if he marries an amana and you marry a psula, you may not have a chi of Shoshvinus. Or maybe he'll never get married. So that's his proof that you can't bring a riot all from Shoshvinus. It's just a different category. It's not really a hava. That's exactly what you were suggesting. But Rabbeinu Tam didn't agree. Rabbeinu Tam thought it's really a loan. Another one of these halachos that the Gemara stipulates for Shoshvinus. Turn back to page 1. The Gemara says, Ein, so we saw Ein Shvius Misham Tasa, but also Ein HaBechor Notel Pishnayim. Normally the halacha is that a Bechor gets double Yerusha, right? But the din is a Bechor only gets Pishnayim in something that is Muchzak, not something that's Roy. I mean, what's the difference between Roy and Muchzak?
The existence already versus...
Or something that's in possession versus something that's only a right of collection. So Bechor gets double of stuff that his parents have in their possession, in their estate. But something that that his parents only have a right of collection to, he doesn't get double in that.
What's the exact case here where there's a Bechor involved?
That's tricky.
So I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, they just got married. The guy dies, and
What's the son?
So the guy's been married already.
Yeah, he's been married for at least nine months.
So I'm not sure. I don't understand.
Let's go back to the statute of limitations.
Well, maybe it's a case where it's a second marriage for the father.
And he died before the money could be paid to him.
Right.
Maybe that would be the case.
Yeah, that makes sense. He already has a previous.
Well, he died after. Has to be second.
Maybe he died after second marriage.
Second marriage.
And the Shishvinus is not yet paid.
Even if he dies after, the question is that once he collected, if the father would have collected the Shishvinus, then it's Mukhsuk already.
Right. If he collected already.
Before
it was paid, for sure. But maybe the fiv exists.
The husband on his second marriage died before the guest can pay the Shishvinus.
Right.
Now, it's something the first marriage comes and says, I get twice.
I get Pishnayim. Why not?
He can't say he doesn't get Pishnayim from the Shishvinus.
Well, he gets Pishnayim from whatever his father has. Right? So if his father would collect the Shishvinus and it's like a chuv, then his father has rights to it. Then he should get Pishnayim in it. That would be one.
But we agree that if the father already collected it, then it would be Mukhsuk.
Yeah, then it's for sure Mukhsuk. It's not a.
Weird case here. Okay.
Right. So. Yeah, if Harold was here, he wouldn't be happy with
that. What's interesting is that as many times you get married,
as much Shoshvinus you get. But it seems like you only get Shoshvinus because your friend could say, I guess it depends, he could
maybe
say.
His friend got married two times.
Right, it would have to be the case where his friend got married two times. Otherwise, he could say, I'm not doing two weddings for you.
Shoshvinus is a good deal.
Yeah.
There are people in the Shoshvinus business. Like, welcome to my quarter of life.
Get a Russian bride.
So, this last case of Royu Mukhsuk. So, Tosus here says, this is on page 5, and under the section right in the middle of Ein HaBechorinot HaBrayi K'Mukhsuk. So, Tosus says, Ein HaBechorinot HaPishnayim, the Havelei Roy. Rafi Laman da Amar Le'el B'Perek. Now, the background here is that there's a debate in the Gemara, is a loan considered Royu Mukhsuk? I mean, it's not clear what's Roy and Mukhsuk. So there's debate whether the right of collection against somebody else, is that Roy or Mukhsuk? Okay? So Tosa says, V'afi l'man da'amar le'el perek yeshnochlin milve lo have a Roy. Even according to the view in the Gemara that when you have a loan, let's say the bank has a mortgage on me, right? So it's not Roy for them to collect. It's as if they have the collection in their possession because they have a shtar and they can enforce it. So even according to the view that in general holds that a loan is considered Mukhsuk in possession, shoshvinos mia have a Roy. And Shoshvinus itself as a category is considered only something that's roi, right? So it doesn't have the same force as an actual loan. Okay? Kishem lo yifra lo, let me say. I think since there are cases where the Shoshvinus may not actually go into effect.
I'm still on a problem. If by definition the purpose of Shoshvinus was to support the married couple, and the husband dies during Sheva Brachos, why should there be any Shoshvinus commitment anyway? Because you're not supporting the couple. You should not have a
even supporting the family.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, maybe you're supporting the. Well, it seems like the institution of Shoshvinus is for which might transcend any individual case where it doesn't carry through.
Okay.
I think that's the. Anyway, so you see again. So Tosa's saying in these both these instances, Tosa's saying, look, you can't bring a proof from Shoshvinus to Shemitah canceling because it's not a loan, and even if in general loans are not considered Roy, Shoshvinus is only Roy, because it's weaker than a normal debt. Now, what is considered Shoshvinus? Okay, so the Mishnah on bottom of page 5, Bava Basra Kuthman Daladam base. So in the second line of the Mishnah, it says, Aval HaShalech L'Chavero Kadeh Yayin V'Kadeh Shemen, if you send bottles of oil or bottles of wine to your friend, Ein Nigvin Bebezdin. So these can't be forced. You can't sue somebody for these through Shoshvinus. Because that's only charity. Because you can't enforce collection on these things.
Is this collection on the return on the second person marriage, or is this you've got somebody stiffs you at the wedding?
On the return. So if I come to your wedding and I give you Kade Yain with Kade Shemen, so you can't. All right, so I can't force you to reciprocate for me.
So he does have to reciprocate the kid?
Seems like it.
You fulfilled your obligation.
Well, it seems like I didn't give him Shoshvinus.
Right. That's
right. I just gave him Gemias Chasadim. Right. I did Chesed, but I'm not. I didn't give him Shoshvinus. Right. Now it seems like
are you still obligated?
It seems like Shoshvinus is. It's not clear that you have a chiv to give Shoshvinus, mean, this goes back to that first Rambam. It's not clear if the Rambam's saying that you have a chiv to give shoshvinas, or just that once there's a minug that people go ahead and do actually do it, then there's a chiv to reciprocate. I mean, it's not clear where the halacha kicks in here. Is the halacha being mechayiv to give?
It's a wealthy couple. It sounds like that you don't have to give shoshvinas.
Well, it seems like across the board there's no obligation to give shoshvinas. The obligation is to reciprocate shoshvinas. And that's indifferent to whether or not the guy's wealthy or pauper. Okay? Now, so the Rambam paskening this Mishnah says, bottom of page 5, Perek Zayin Halacha Tesvav and Zechiyu Matana, V'chein ha-sholech l'chaveru kad yayin v'kad yishem u'peiros b'eis ha-nisuin, ein nigves b'bezdin. Ein nigvin b'bezdin. Okay, you can't force collection on any of these. M'vnei shigimil eschas aladim. V'lo nemru dinei shoshvinos el b'mos bilvad. Okay, the only thing that classifies as shoshvinos is actual money.
In some, the average gift in those days was not money. So once you gave money, that was already considered a category.
Putting you in the category of shoshvinas.
You get it returned. But some person wasn't necessarily giving money.
Ah, it could be. You're saying that you need some way of distinguishing between just a nice gift and somebody who's actually trying to. So since money was hard to come by, then so that shows that this is l'shem shoshvinas.
It's not a gift in the way we describe gift. There's no obligations. I can do.
Right, this is like a contribution to the. It's like a dedication.
It's saying goods are a gift. That's Camille's Chassaram. That's a flat gift. Money now has a certain responsibility of
right.
payment.
So
whether it's
the
right.
loan or not. So if you go to the wedding
right.
and you give the guy the jug of wine, so that's a gift.
That's just a gift.
Right. So I think this is the key question here, and this is what's important for Sunday's discussion. A shoshvin is not just somebody who shows up to the wedding and gives a gift,
right?
A shoshvin is somebody who becomes like a partner in the wedding, in making the wedding, right? So you see, it has financial obligations are a function of his becoming a part of the actual wedding here.
Right.
So we'll see those ramifications on Sunday. So maybe that's why the Rambam is focusing on Moss. Right. It seems like they're necessary, but it's just. The Rambam, I guess that's the idea. That the Moss is still a stronger kind of. I'm buying in. To the chasana here. I'm not just coming with gifts.
Show me the money.
What? Show me the money. Right? It's like I want this to be called a foyer wedding. Everyone's invited to the foyer chuppah. Now, the Rav disagrees. You can see just on top of page 6. The Rav just says, Amar Ram, davar ze einam chuvar. Right? The Rav just says this is wrong. Doesn't even bother to say why the Rambam's wrong here. Just.
Why did he hold that you can't be.
He doesn't say. He just says he thinks the Rambam is wrong that it's limited to money.
Okay.
Presumably, he doesn't explain why. The Magen Mishnah is upset with the Ravid for not explaining why the Rambam's wrong. He says, after all, the Rambam made a nice inference from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Kadeh Yayin Kadeh Shemen is not Shoshvinas. The Rambam says, Hu Adin for anything that's not Mos. Okay. Right. Says the Magen Mishnah is upset with the Ravid's Hasaga. The Meiri, in his Beis HaBechira, so he offers his own interpretation of Shoshvinas. I see, V'Shoshvinas Zu, this is the third source on page 6. G'dol Yamechabrim Pirshua She'eno Nemar El B'mos. Right, the Rambam, who's the great codifier, G'dol Yamechabrim, he says this is limited to money. V'otziu Davar Zen Ma'asharum B'sof HaMishnah Aval HaShalech L'chaveru Kad Yayin V'Kad Yishemen Ein Eilu Nigun Epnei Shu G'miyaz Chasadim. Right, the Rambam got this from the Mishnah that said that Yayin and Shem is G'miyaz Chasadim. The Yira Shehem Medamim Kol Davar Maichel Yain V'Shemen. Clearly, the Rambam assumed that any food has the same din as Yain and Shemen. Umachzirin Din Hashoshvinos Lamos Levad. Very interesting idiom. Umachzirin means that he relegates. Right? He limits the category of Shoshvinos to Mos. V'li V'lo Yira Lichein. Miri says I disagree. Halakach Nirli Shashoshvinos Eina Ela Bedoronos Shederech Bnei Adam L'Shalchem La'Ashirim. Kigon ofos v'chatichos haru'uyos lehiskabed mitoch shamnan v'yafin u'mine tavlin u'peros ha'meshubachim v'chafatzim na'im. He says, I think shoshvinos is anything that's a nice gift that you would give to somebody who's wealthy. Right? So not just like, you're giving him, a vacuum cleaner, but like a nice bird, right, or a nice piece of meat, which that's shamin, a nice fat piece of meat. He says, that's considered a nice gift.
It has to be part of the mishta itself.
So he doesn't say it has to be part of the mishta. So maybe it's a different model, right? For the Rambam, it's more like you're buying into the chasana and the ishas. For the Meiri Mar, it's like you're enhancing the kavod, right, of what's going on here. And you ever see like Fiddler on the Roof, where they're giving, you know, my goose stuffed pillows, or, you know, three chickens. So the Meiri thinks it's about contributing like a chash of a gift. Okay, so for the Meiri, it's all about the quality of what you're giving, right? Something special or something that's just charity. Okay, so once you're in the category of gemilas chasadim, so there's no obligation of reciprocity, right? Because otherwise it's not gemilas chasadim. The kol shekein shadin kein b'mos, and it seems like, now I'm not sure what mos is going on here. I think the Meiri is saying that mos would not count as shoshvinos, right? Do you think, or do you think?
That's impossible to say that.
Why?
To say mos is not shoshvinos?
Well, mos might just be tzedakah and gemilas chasadim. When's the last time you walked up to a wealthy man's house and gave, just said, here's a check as a gift? To the contrary, right? It's not respectable to, so I mean, you walk up to a Saudi prince and say, thanks for hosting me, here's a check, right?
So
you bring him...
Can I explain the Gmarmbo Vasa that gives cases where...
Well, it doesn't give a case of money. Just
it
says...
It doesn't, but it says, Shvius Mishametas.
Because the whatever, the fact that you're
in... If you lend somebody a chair...
Yeah.
Could
be, yeah. You could have a loan of. If you didn't say you have to repay me this chair, you say repair. You have a chiv to repay me a chair. I take an easier case, right? You lend somebody a pound of, you know, grain.
And the concept of ribis doesn't imply that it's a monetary transaction.
Well, you could have ribis even. It's a monetary. You could have monetary transactions on commodities, not just financials.
Right.
Right. You could lend somebody a pound of gold.
It
doesn't sound this way. But isn't that what he's saying?
It's not money.
Right, but he's saying the kol shekein came b'mos. It sounds like if, you know.
Maybe kol shekein because that's people so you send rich people money.
I don't think so. Socially, it doesn't seem right. And also, the way it's coming off this sentence in the Meiri, it sounds.
How does this rich guy repay?
He also has to give a nice gift of
he's
equal
poor,
value.
The other guy's rich.
No, let's say they're... Oh, no, he's not saying that he actually rich. He's just saying that you have to give him the kind of gift that you would give to... It's like a chasam doma lemelech, right? You know, you're treating the chasam like he's royalty in this scenario. But maybe it's a different conception of shoshvinus. The Rambam shoshvinus is buying into the chasna, right? So you have the foyer shmorg. And for the Meiri, it sounds like shoshvinus is giving a gift that just, you know, is treating them like royalty. The gedolei mefarshim notim lomar... This is what he attributes to the Ravid. The Ravid is Gedolei Mefarshim from the Meiri. Sheshoshvinos b'chol davarhu nemar v'lo amrela shaleach kadayayin she'enu nigmin ela b'sholcham b'shari mos hashana. He thinks for the Ravid, Sheshvinos is defined by any gift that you give in the context of the wedding. Right? There's no qualification of what kind of gift you give, only when you give it. Okay? So, very interesting sheet of the Ravid, right?
The idea of a year.
He says, "I beshar you most Hashanah the rest of the year." I'm not sure what he means exactly. He doesn't say. Maybe it's limited to things that you only give during Shivas Me'amishta. Mm-hmm. Anything you give him during these 7 days, that's Shoshvinos, right? An actual contribution. So you have three shittas here in the Meiri. I thought it's fascinating that the Shulchan Aruch, in first, one other observation, the Rambam paskin these halachos in Hilchos Zechiyu Matana. That's where he has all the laws of gifts and presents. That's the Rambam has Shoshvinos. It's like an interesting category in the laws of gifts. The Shulchan Aruch, when he talks about these halachos in the tour, so they talk about shoshvinos in Hilchos Nisuin, right, within the laws of marriage. It's an interesting way. Where do you see it? Do you see this as like an anomaly of kinyanim, or do you see it as part of the actual chasana? So the Shulchan Aruch here is, the only time I know the Shulchan Aruch ever does this, is that he starts quoting the halachos of shoshvinos, second to last verse on page 6. Starts off quoting. And in the second to last line, he says, Yesh baze kama chilukim. There's a lot of distinctions in the laws of shoshvinus. L'fisha b'zman hazeh lo noagu l'tvoa tviya zu, ra'isi shlo laharich baze. Since I don't see people actually doing this, so I'm not going to pass any of these shilos. When those that came, they say, oh yeah, look at the tour. The tour was marich, and the tour explains, and the Rambam explains it. But it's fascinating that these are all halachos that appear in the Gemara. The Rambam quotes them. And the Shulchan Aruch says, I'm just not going to pask in them because I don't see... So I think today, if you ask people about Shoshvinus, like even Yeshiva Bachram, like a lot of them...
I've never heard of them.
Well, yeah, a lot of you... There you go. Right, so I'm going to look at you blankly, like, what do you mean, Shashvinas? I think I link in part because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass in it, so it fell off. But it's like two Dapim in Bava Basra. And,
I mean, this is a huge open field.
It is open field over here.
It's huge.
I'll speak to him when he comes back from Florida. Well.
You guys said Susie's not giving back. He said, what do you have? Come on, it was a Tuesday night. It was Melchix.
So on Sunday, we'll pick up with this idea that how the Shoshvinim are really part of the celebration of the wedding, right? They're contributing to the chasana, they're buying in. And we'll see how that affects the halachas of the Shoshvinim in the actual celebration of the... in the ritual of the wedding, even. That's the... this is the Shoshvinus side. That's the Shoshvinim side.